Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Before I announce today's guest, I would like to extend a personal Christmas message to listeners. This has been a tough year for everyone, and many will not be celebrating this most special holiday in ways they have in the past. It was announced a few days ago that severe illness with a new strain of COVID-19 has resulted in Christmas being canceled in the UK. What that means is that holiday activities and plans have been severely restricted to protect the health of citizens. Christmas cannot be canceled. The gift that God gave to us in the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, will never be canceled, eliminated, or withdrawn. It is the only gift that withstands the test of time and adversity and will endure throughout eternity. We can be discouraged and disappointed by a lack of family gatherings and late packages this Christmas season, heartbroken over the loss of family members and friends, fearful of illness and financial hardship, frustrated with a pandemic that has lasted much longer than we anticipated, but we can't allow anything to steal the joy that Jesus' holy birth brings to our hearts. Despite all that we have lost, let us greet each day with thankfulness for what we still have, a God who knows us, loves us, and is always with us. Today's broadcast is the last for Step Into the Light for the year 2020. I want to thank all of my listeners for your support. I pray that the messages you have heard have touched your heart, enriched your life, and enabled you to step from the dark shadows of life into the light of God's powerful presence. My next broadcast will air on Tuesday, January 5th, 2021, at which time I will share an announcement about some exciting changes to the show that are planned for the new year. Now, on to today's show. My guest today, D.D. Lake, is a speaker, author, blogger, and columnist. Known as the connection expert, she builds relationships one conversation at a time using humor, storytelling, and purposeful communication. The owner of Cherish Relations Retreats, she lives out her faith and passion while writing, speaking, and guiding individuals how to have extraordinary relationships. Married for 37 years to husband Seth and residing in Colorado Springs, D.D. has been a relationship coach and mentor for 25 years. She is the author of Next Step, You've Accepted Jesus. Now what? Good morning, D.D., and welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, Patty.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, D.D. How long ago has it been that we connected?
I think 5 years ago, maybe longer. It's been a while.
It's been quite some time up there at Marlene's Colorado Christian Writers Conference. Bless Marlene. She's
That's
brought
right.
so many guests to this show over time.
Yeah.
Well, Dee Dee, I usually like to start my interview asking folks a little bit of where it all began for you. Could you share with us what kind of childhood experiences influenced your life today as a Christian, as a Christian relationship coach, and as a writer? Did you have that desire, that burning desire as a young person to get an essay assignment in school or not so much, and did you grow up in a Christian home where, or did that part of your life kind of come into play later on?
That's a great question. I was a Navy brat, so I moved all over. My dad was a Spanish interpreter in the Navy, so we lived in Spain for about 9 years altogether. But we moved and came back and all that. But I did not grow up in a Christian home. My parents did, but they didn't share their faith with us. And I'm not quite sure why. I haven't figured that out yet. But I grew as a believer after I got saved at 18, almost 18 years old. I wanted to play softball because when I lived in Spain, I played softball and did different sports. And when I came back to the States ages ago, there wasn't a place for me to play except for the church women's league. And so that's what I did. And through that, God really just reached out to me and got my attention, and I realized I needed a savior. So that's what I did.
I think I had read somewhere that you had lived in Spain, and I probably should have asked you about that. It's always interesting to talk to people who have lived, you know, in a different country outside of the United States. I have a my son and daughter-in-law live over in the UK. They've been over there for, oh goodness, 10 years now, and I've never been there, sadly.
That's definitely one place I want to go is England. Having lived in Spain, we went to Portugal and different, Canary Islands. I lived in Panama with my husband who was in the army, and we lived in Korea two different times. But definitely England is on my list that I would like to go see, and Scotland, those areas like that.
Yeah, well, I'm not so sure now when or if I'm ever going to get over there. I've kind of got that on my bucket list for someday because I don't think they have much intention of coming back. They really like it there.
I really enjoyed living in different cultures. It made me realize, and that's part of, making me a relational coach or person, because I realized as I moved, not only was I moving, but everybody around me was moving too, like all the military kids or, people that were associated with the military. So I knew that you had to get in, get busy, and get connected right away. I don't know that I could have put words to that back then, but that's certainly what I started doing or what always did and continue to do even today. I don't meet a stranger. I love the life that I had. I've lived in 50 houses. Yes, I did say 50.
Wow.
And that just makes me realize that today, it's all I have with my friends. If I'm blessed with tomorrow, that's even better. And what's nice about social media and stuff now, I've been able to connect with long lost friends over the years. And it's such a great place for me to go and be able to just chit chat with my friends from Spain, from Panama, everywhere else I've lived. So yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I guess you make lifelong friendships. My sister and brother-in-law were in the Air Force for 20 years. And, surprisingly, they didn't move all that much. They did 10 years over at the Pentagon.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
They did a year in Korea, and they retired, and they were in Delaware for a while, and they retired at Great Falls in Montana. But it's kind of interesting. My sister and brother-in-law are going to be grandparents for the first time, with my niece being 38 years old?
Congratulations.
Oh, it's so exciting. This is my first grandnephew. It's going to be a boy. On my side of the family, I've got gazillions on my husband's side, but this is the first one on my side. But the point I was going to make is that they did a virtual course in these times with COVID. They did a virtual shower deal. She had an Amazon registry, and my sister said she was shocked that people that she knew way back when she was in the Air Force sent gifts to my niece.
Absolutely.
Those
are family.
Years ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were asking about my childhood. I've always been a writer. I love to write, but I thought everybody loved to write until I met my husband, who doesn't love to write. And I was like, what? You don't like to write? And so that's the kind of brain that I have, that whatever side that is. And it wasn't until much later. I grew up thinking I was going to be an attorney, an international attorney. That was my goal. I was going to do that. In fact, when I met my husband, I was in, college to go, that path. And then we got married 5 months after I met him, and which I don't recommend to everybody, but it works for us. But we... over the years, as I went back to school a little bit at a time, I realized that I didn't want to be a lawyer. That wasn't my heart. And my husband just really showed me that I had a gift for writing. And I realized that that's the way I commune with God too. He really speaks to me through my writing, and then
yes.
I can share that with other people. So I love to write.
Wow. That is so neat, Dee Dee. And isn't it just amazing the way God kind of steers us in a different direction than what we
absolutely anticipated. Absolutely. My parents always thought I'd be a really good lawyer because I do love to debate. I called it debating. They called it talking back, but it's all the same.
Yes, when you're young, it's talking back. When you're older, it's debating, huh?
right.
That's funny. See, what strategies do you use to encourage individuals toward a more fulfilling and purposeful life? I know that you work with relationships and with good communication and that kind of thing, and I'm sure that you probably have certain strategies that you use.
I do. I believe the first thing is knowing who you are, your identity in Christ. When you get a hold of that, that's really going to make a difference on everything else that affects you. As things coming, into your life, good or bad, you use the filter of Jesus, and that helps make you make your decisions, helps how you feel about things, how you look into the future even. And so for me, that's the core, you know, just making sure that you know who you are. And I've been a speaker about that for a long time, talking about your identity, being a daughter of the King. And I often wear my crown. Sometimes people come over, I'll have a crown on just because I enjoy wearing one, like when I'm writing or whatever. And I'll forget the crown's on, which is kind of funny. So one of the reasons, one thing I do is I actually encourage women and give away a lot of the tiaras or crowns, because I want them to understand their beauty, you know, how they are created. And by knowing that, really the world can't shake you. If you know who you are, you know what I mean? Like, times will come and go, of good times or bad times. But if you know that God is for you, that's something that makes sure that people know that God is for you. He's not against you. You know, no matter how many bad things have happened or, you know, things that didn't turn out the way you wanted, God loves you. And so really just having that as the core. And my other two things are knowing how to, that God loves you, and then how to love other people. Those are God's, really his message is to love him and to love his people. And it's really just that simple to have. If your life is that simple, if you're busy doing that, then all the other chaos, you're not going to get involved in. You know what I mean? Like drama that people will sometimes get drawn to. So I think that for me is very important, for them to know who they are and love God and love people. That's my basis pretty much.
Dee Dee, I know absolutely what you mean, because it is so easy to get mixed up in other people's drama to the point where it can affect our outlook on life and our attitude about our own lives in general if we don't have that rooting in Jesus and who we are.
Right, right. Well, that was something for me not growing up in the church. You know, I knew I was a ball player. You know, I was a cheerleader. I was a academic. I mean, I made, you know, really great grades. But when I moved back from Spain to the States, I was in the middle of my junior year, and all my identity that was wrapped up were the things that I did, you know, and my friends over there. It wasn't truly my identity. And so I kind of went through a little crisis at that point. I'm like 17, 18 years old, wondering who I am, you know, because I wasn't raised with the knowledge of that I'm a daughter of the King. So when I finally got a hold of that and I realized God loves me, I'm like, girl, you know, that for me was life changing and a life purpose for, you know, to help other people discover their identity. And not just their identity in Christ, but also their identity of like their purpose, their mission, their spiritual gifts, you know, all their talents that God has created with all of that. And for me, that helps you connect to God and connect to the world around you.
Yes, I definitely agree. Dee Dee, on your website, you talk about the four L's of a vibrant spiritual life. Would you share what those four L's are with us today?
Yes. Yeah, and they are the Lordship of Christ, the loving relationships, living the word, and legacy of service. And if you want more information about it, so we don't have to go all into it right now, but they can go on my website, ddlake.com, and you'll have it in your notes too, but they can go on there and find out. It's actually what I copied from our church, and our church said it was okay for me to do that. But it just, they want us to understand exactly how you live out those, that vibrant life. And so the Lordship of Christ, knowing that, you know, God is not just God, but it's just putting him in the center of all things. And then loving relationships, you know, just having loving relationships, and living the word, you know the word so you can live it, not to be a show off, but just to say, that's who I am as a believer. And then the legacy of service, just being able to serve, you know, the way God wants you to serve. So yeah, I like those four L's. I think they're very easy to remember and to remind ourselves that, hey, where's my focus in my life right now?
Yes. And that dovetails so well with something that I heard this morning, Dee Dee. I love to listen to, I don't know if you're familiar with them up there in Colorado Springs Christian Radio, KTLF, The Light.
I'm not.
Is their station now. Oh, they're great. I just love them. I'm always pitching KTLF on my podcast. But anyway, the host for the morning show, he always throws out these little quips, you know, these little words of wisdom and little quotes from people. And he brought up the idea that so many Christians do all this studying, Bible study, and read the Bible and do all this, but then we don't put it into action. So
absolutely.
Your four L's kind of dovetail with that. That, yeah, you know, it's great to have the knowledge and the understanding, but if you don't share it with anybody,
I've lived that. You know, my parents both grew up in the church, so they knew a lot of things. You know, they stopped going to church basically when they were 19 or so. Once they got married, they didn't go to church really anymore, other than when we came to visit our grandparents, which wasn't very often because we lived overseas and, you know, far away from them.
Sure.
So to know that we're only one generation away from extinction. You know, I've heard that many times. And so if you're not living your faith, then, you know, teaching other people about it, then we're, you know, as Christians, we're done, you know, so, and that's not what God wants for us.
Exactly. Well, you and your husband recently launched Cherish Relations. Will you tell us about that?
Yes, we are so excited. Of course, COVID has kind of pushed us back a little bit. But
yeah.
We have had an amazing marriage. I mean, I cherish my husband, and he does the same for me. And we just love each other. We have so much fun. We laugh every day. I mean, and we've been through some hard things. So, you know, it's not that it hasn't been hard, but we purposely work at our marriage to make it extraordinary. And we want that for other people, because that's how God created marriage to be. He didn't, you know, condemn us to marriage. You know, he blessed us with marriage. So we want other people to understand that that's how it should be. Both of our parents, that wasn't really their experience. They married and stay married for, you know, forever. But just because you're in it doesn't mean that you're really living it. Like we talked about your faith, the same thing in your marriage. And so we want to teach people through retreats and workshops. Plus, I do a blog and I do these little videos I send out. Like we call them Cherish Challenges. It's just a little tip once a week I'll send out to tell them something to do, to practice or whatever, to make it what extraordinary relationships do, you know, to go that extra mile. So we're excited about it. We're hopefully going to hold a retreat sometime late spring, early summer. And yeah, it's on our website again. When we get it up there, it'll be on the website. So we can't wait to get it started more. But in the meantime, we're just learning and, you know, figuring out some behind the scenes information and stuff like that.
Wow, it sounds like a real challenge and very exciting, Dee Dee, and something that we could definitely use today when you look at the statistics of people that get married and sadly don't stay together for whatever reason. And it's, we've had a lot of breakdown in the family over the past several years, and it
Absolutely.
Sounds like your ministry is one that will help people to strengthen their relationships and their marriages, and that's a great thing. So congratulations, and I'll be praying for much success for you and your husband in that endeavor.
We appreciate it. The CHERISH actually comes from, it's an acronym for communication, heart, expectations, respect, intimacy, security, and humor. And so we need to have all those aspects to have that extraordinary relationship. But also, we want to walk beside the people. Like, it's easy to say, have this extraordinary relationship, like I'm sitting out these chairs, challenges, go do that. But if you don't have somebody walking with you, just like Jesus did, he came to be a mentor to us, you know, besides our Savior. But he also mentored those men as he walked with them and spent time with them. And that's what we want to do with these people. We spend a weekend with them or a workshop with them. It's hands-on. It's being able to really have them connect with their spouse and or somebody that they think they want to get married to, which would even be better, you know, to do before you're even married, start off on the right foot. So we're pretty excited about it. Both of us are. But thank you for asking about it.
Oh, man, it sounds wonderful. Now, do you have a place, like
I wish. I wish we did. Our plan is to actually use Airbnbs, and we'll only do like 4 to 6 couples at a time at the most. So it's very intimate, but not so much that it's like too much in your face, you know, so they'll have time alone and time as a group and then time with each of my husband and I over that weekend. And we thought, you know, there's so many beautiful places here in Colorado that we could use different places as those Airbnbs or just a retreat somewhere or something like that. So we're going to rent out places and use those to do the workshops. And the workshops we might just do at our church. We're not quite sure. We've got to work that out. But depending on where we'll do them at. But, yeah, some different places.
Nice. Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yes, and there definitely are many inspiring places in this beautiful state of ours.
Absolutely.
You know, a workshop at a retreat like that, that would be wonderful. Oh, very good. Very good. Well, Dee Dee, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to talk about a dark time and how they found their way back to light. And some people get very intensely personal with that question, and some people are not so, they're more superficial with it. But still, I do ask that my guests address that issue. So could you talk about a time in your life when things were maybe not going quite as well as you wished they were, and there were maybe some shadows cast over you,
yeah,
and how you found your way back out of that and back into light?
Wouldn't it be nice if I could say I didn't have any dark times at all? That's heaven, isn't it?
I know.
For me, I've had an amazing life. I've been blessed, but there's been hard times too. The way I grew up wasn't necessarily the greatest way, and so recovering from that has been good. But I want to say one area that I think about is when we were raising our daughter. Both of our children are adopted, and our daughter will be 30 in a couple of days, and our son is 25. They're not biologically related. We got her in Panama and him in New York City. We call that the other foreign country, New York.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, they were babies when we got him. But our daughter has some issues that she's had to deal with. And as she became a tween and teenager and a young adult, she made some choices that made it very difficult on our family. I was upset with God because I'm like, God, we did everything the church told us to do. You know, we did the Bible studies. We, you know, read the Bible. We did the little songs. We took them to church, took them to VBS. I mean, everything that, I mean, we were involved in all those things too. We homeschooled and prayed with them every night. I mean, all those things. And we're like, we did the recipe. How come the child didn't turn out the way we wanted her to? And so somebody said, I'm not a very good baker to start with. So maybe that was the reason, but for me, it was such a struggle because I am a relational person, and our daughter has RAD, which is reactive attachment disorder. And we didn't know until she was probably almost 16. We put a name on it, a label on it, going to therapist and all that. And if you've ever had to live with somebody that has RAD, it's very difficult. They have a hard time connecting, or they connect inappropriately. And there's a lot of other bad choices that can happen with that. Fortunately for us, she didn't have a very severe case of it, but at the time it felt very severe to us. We were so broken over that, you know, here we are just, you know, crying out to God, you know, what else can we do? And through all that, we became closer to the Lord. You know, I know that I did, because that's where I went, you know, for my strength when I just felt overwhelmed. I remember one point just feeling dated, like it was so hard. And I just laid on my bed, because I'm a Southern girl at heart. So I had to go take to my bed, and I just started crying and crying. And finally I was like, okay, I've got to do something instead of just weeping. And because I'm a writer, you know, I got my journal out, and at the top of it, I wrote, God wins. And those two words just changed my heart. I mean, it was like, oh, that's right. It's not over till God says it's over, you know, so God is going to win. If you read the end of the book, the Bible, God wins. So
right.
I started writing affirmations of who I am in Christ. You know, I'm his daughter. I'm loved. I'm adopted, accepted, you know, all of those things. And I mean, I wrote for quite a while. And then finally I just said, you know what, I need to spend some time with the Lord. And so I just started praying. And that was a switch for me to go from I'm so angry and so frustrated and hurt and overwhelmed by the choices she was making that affected all of us. Our son was 4 years younger, you know, it was affecting him, you know, too. And his life wasn't, he didn't get the life to turn out the way that she should have. I mean, all the good things that we were able to give to her, we weren't able to give to him because she brought so much chaos into the home. But thanks the Lord, she's better now. It took her about 5 years ago. She had a pretty traumatic event that's her business. So I won't, you know, go over that, but it changed her. She's definitely growing back towards the Lord, and we're excited about that. She'll always have reactive attachment disorder. We'll always probably struggle with some situations with her, but it's so much better than what it was. And I believe it's because we stayed strong in our faith and in our marriage. We always stayed with one another and knew that we would not let her divide us. And that was so important in our marriage. And I really would offer that to your listeners, that they would understand that their spouse is not the enemy. You know, Satan is the enemy. Even their child, who might be, you know, making poor choices, isn't the enemy. It's Satan. And Satan gets in your family, and it's hard to get him out sometimes. But we just kept loving her. We put strong boundaries on, And we were able to come out of that dark place, and it was definitely dark. I remember I worked at the church at the time, and as a connections person, I know, big surprise, right? but I remember going to church and talking to my sister on the phone. For some reason, I went by myself. I think my family was already inside, and I had to do something, so I, you know, came later. So I get there, and I'm in the parking lot, and I'm just bawling to my sister, who's in Alabama. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm just going to let her go because that's what she wants. She wants her own independence at 16. And I said, I just can't fight her anymore. It's just, I'm done. So, of course, God has to have his way. I walk into the church, and I have a large church that we go to. And because I worked there, a lot of people knew me. And so they're just loving on me as I walk by. And I'm just thinking, I am so broken inside. You have no idea, you know. And so I made my way to the front of the church where we always sat in the front and, you know, sat by my husband and, you know, just weeping through the service. And our pastor starts talking about when God gives you a child to be a parent, he doesn't ask you to only do it for a day or so. You do it till he's done with you being that parent, and to finish it well, you know, is what we're called to do, not just to finish, but finish well. And I'm like, really? It felt like the pastor was in the car with me hearing me say I was giving up, but that was definitely, it was God. And so that was a switch. I was like, okay, I got to still parent her. So, but we love her and she's still in our lives, and we're praise the Lord, she's alive.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Dee Dee. And isn't it amazing how God has come alongside of us many times through other people in ways that we never imagined, just when
Absolutely.
We need him.
Yeah, we leaned on the church. We leaned on our fellow believers, leaned on our village, you know, that had been part of her growing up. And so even today, if I have an issue, I call one of my best friends that was like an aunt to her. And I was like, hey, can you call Gabby? You know, because she needs some attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's such a beautiful thing to be that village and to love on our kids the way we need to. So.
Yes, most definitely. Well, I have some understanding of what you talk about with reactive attachment disorder, and you may know this. I was employed for a while with the Colorado Boys Ranch down here, which was a residential psychiatric child care facility. And yeah, some of our boys were diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder. I know what you mean. You get mm-hmm. so attached to them. We got attached to all of our boys out there, you know, even the ones that were not real well behaved, which was many of them. But
right.
Anyway,
right.
You
That's
know,
probably
you
why
just,
they were there.
You just want something back and you just don't get it
right.
back. And
right.
it's heartbreaking. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. And so as a parent, I mean, here I was just a nurse out there, you know, if these weren't my kids. So I can somewhat empathize with what you must have went through as a parent, Dee Dee. And again, thank you so much for sharing that very personal and intense experience with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a difficult time, but I know that we went through it for a reason, and I'm the mentor that I am today because of that. I mean, it, you know, that just forced me to my knees and forced me to find God's word on it, to be able to love this girl that was not very lovable. You know what I mean? And many people are like, oh, you just need to let her go. And it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's my daughter, you know? So yeah, it was a tough time. And I want to encourage your listeners too, that they're going through something like that, to stay strong, you know, just stay in God's word, because people that have regular children, you know, children that don't have that issue, don't understand, you know, how intense all of those emotions are. And they are very intense and scary, you know. And so I would encourage them to find somebody that they trust that they can talk to and be a part of that, get therapy, you know, whatever you need. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, thank you for that, Dee Dee. Well, at this point, we'll take a short break to remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light, and that I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Christian relationship coach Dee Dee Lake. To this point, we've been discussing Dee Dee's work as a relationship coach, some of the concepts she uses and beliefs that she shares to help others build healthy and godly relationships. And she just now shared with us a very personal story about a dark time that she experienced and how she found her way back to the light. If you would like to listen to the podcast again or refer to friends and family, which of course we would love to have you do, you can find it on my website, which is pattysheen.com. That is spelled PATTISHENE.com. Under the Blog Talk Radio tab, you'll find a link to today's podcast and a more information tab that will show links to Dee Dee's website, which is DeeDeeLake.com. That's spelled DeeDeeLake.com. As well as her blog and social media outlets. I'll have links to all of those places as well on there. If this podcast has been helpful, please share it with others who might like to hear it as well. All of our podcasts to date are listed on that page. During the second half of today's show, we'll be discussing Dee Dee's book, which is Next Step, You've Accepted Jesus, Now What? So, Dee Dee, tell us inspired you to write Next Step, You've Accepted Jesus, Now What?
Well, it was not my intention to write the book. I thought that God was going to call somebody else out to write the book. So I mentioned earlier that I was a speaker, and I spoke to mostly young married women or young moms. That was kind of my target audience. But what I kept finding over and over again was that the deceiver had deceived these women so many times. And I was just crying out to the Lord here at my house in Colorado Springs. I remember the day exactly where I was sitting 4 years ago. And I said, Lord, please, how can we reach these women, you know, before they believe the lie? You know, and he's like, well, you need to, you know, figure that out and get to them earlier. And I'm like, Lord, but how does that even work? Because that's not my, you know, I don't go there. And so through some conversation with the Lord, I realized that I needed to write that book to be that mentor and walk alongside those young women so that they would know the truth about their identity, how to live for Christ, but with practical tips and ideas and ways to process it. You know, I give them ideas in the book like, you know, find a youth group, you know, try different youth groups. I mean, those kind of things that they would, that would be helpful for them that I wish I had known when I was that age. Originally, the book was advice from an older sister. But then somebody said, you know, nobody's going to want advice from an older sister. So I'm like, okay, we'll change it. And, but I really like, you know, the title, it says exactly what the book is about. It's really a guide or a devotional for teen girls or tween girls, either one. And you can use it by itself. You can use it, you know, just you know, the girl herself, or she can do it with a friend or a mentor or in a large group if they want to do that. And so I'm so excited about the possibilities for this because I wanted for girls to get the message before they got wounded. You know, I mean, yes. This world wants to wound us. And I don't speak typically in a negative format or, you know, way, but the truth is there are so many broken women walking around that if somebody had reached out to them, they were, you know, 15 or 14 or whatever, they wouldn't have made some of the choices they made or, you know, they know who they are. So it really goes back to that identity. I got saved, like I said, when I was 18 and not discipled. The church that I went to get saved was more about the numbers. Oh, we got so many saved. And it was like, okay, but what about discipled? And there was none of that. For 10 years, I just kept thinking there's got to be more. And I didn't go to that church for the 10 years because we moved and all that. But finally, I did get to have a mentor in Panama, and it wasn't just one mentor, but it was a whole host of them in our church because most of the teachers for the Panama Canal for the Americans went to our church off post. And so it was so nice to just for God to answer that prayer for one mentor. But as we lived there for 3 years, I had these beautiful women that I'm still in a relationship come in and teach me, walk with me, how to be a mom, how to be married, how to be a Christian. That for me was life-changing. Like, it was so life-changing that my mom actually went to another pastor that she knew and said, I think my daughter's in a cult because she is so changed. And he's like, hallelujah, I wish everybody be that way. And so I was in a Christian cult, I guess, but actually it was just a regular evangelical church. But, you know, we changed because everything then, we put God on the throne and Jesus in our heart and let the Holy Spirit lead us. That was the change for us and my husband and I both. And it was just an amazing time. And I want that experience for young girls. And so through the book, I'm hoping that some of that will happen because I can't walk with every girl. I can't hold their hands. But I do have a Facebook, private Facebook group that the readers of the book can go to. The link is in it. And I also did 5 videos that they can, you know, click on just to kind of see me and to hear my voice and my concern for them, you know, in a video format. So I'm hoping that they'll enjoy that and lives will be changed.
Well, that's wonderful, Dee Dee. It sounds like you've chosen some really effective ways to communicate with these young people through, because the social media is the big thing now, and videos and that visual aspect. So, yeah, I mean, I certainly hope that they do read the book, but what I'm saying is that you have gone a step beyond where they are today, which is wonderful.
That's my hope. I just want them to. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to know their identity and to be able to walk in this world for the rest of their lives, knowing that they are loved and cherished and just adored by the Father.
Yes. Well, I have not had the opportunity to read your book, and I'm sorry, but I understand that you have included quotes from different ladies in the book. And why did you choose those particular quotes from those particular ladies, and who are they?
Part of that conversation that I had with God was about, you know, we need to reach them beforehand, was, you know, we need to give them some advice. And so I thought, well, if I'm supposed to write this book, I'm going to get advice from other women. So I asked my friends on Facebook and different places, but mostly Facebook, that were from the ages of 20 to 70-ish, if they would tell me something they wish they would have known when they were younger. And it was beautiful because all these ladies that, you know, I know are strong Christians, or, you know, a couple of them were young Christians too. So that was kind of neat to have the different influences there. They sent me their, like, one or two, you know, sentences of what they would have liked to have known. And through that, I wrote the devotionals. And then I put their quote at the bottom with their age too, so that the reader will know how old that person was. And I think that was kind of interesting. I even put the ages of, I made some quotes for that I grabbed offline from, like, Lauren Daigle, the singer that I really like, another quote from Martin Luther King, but mostly it's women. There's a couple of men in there, but mostly it's women. But I found their ages or the times they lived and, you know, put it on there too, so that the girls that are reading it can kind of understand that they can get wisdom from anybody of any age. It doesn't have to be somebody that's, you know, 50 or 70 or whatever. It could be that 20-year-old that's their sister going to college, you know. So
yes.
Yeah, so that's how I picked them, you know, and I just, you know, of course, prayed over it a lot. And I had two ladies that absolutely outstanding ladies, Jane and Quinetta. I sent them every story. They read every story. They sent things back, said, I don't think this sounds right. You know, what do you think about this? And so they were what we call my beta readers. And I'm so pleased that they were able to do that for me, because that helped a lot. One's here in Colorado and the other one was in California, and I trust their input, you know, so that was important too, to know that these are things that are important to girls to hear.
Wonderful. It sounds like you put a lot of work into it, Dee Dee, and I'm sure that there are several young people who are going to benefit immensely from it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question I have always wanted to ask people that write books like this.
Okay.
Are the devotions real life stories, things that really happened to you or to someone else that was told to you, or are they fictionalized just to make the point?
Some are fictionalized and some are true stories. One of my favorite ones in there, I tell a story about my dad. I was a tomboy, a total tomboy growing up. And my dad decided I was going to be a lady. And so he said, you know, I need to learn chores that, you know, typically back then that women did. And so he didn't have me iron his new pants. I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. And he set the heat on it and then left the room. Well, my philosophy was always, and still is, the faster it is, the better it is, you know. And so, like,
sure.
That's why I'm not a good baker. I turn up the oven too high, and I'm like, oh, why'd it burn? So anyway, I wind up burning a hole in his brand new pants, and because I turned it up, and then I put it back down when I started to iron it. As he walked in the door, I had put it down immediately, just like in the movies, you know, a complete iron, you know, hole. And so anyway, that one is a true story. But yeah, I just, you know, some of them are stories, and then some of them are just me, you know, talking to the young reader or to the reader. So it's those you can tell I've come up with that, but for the most part they're real. The story about suicide was real. And so I talk about that. I talk about some serious issues in the book, bullying, dating, you know, those kind of things that they're all these young women are dealing with, you know, at a very early age too.
Yeah. Well, like I've been doing some research on different things related to what's going on in the world today. I've heard more than one time what used to be considered wrong is now considered right. And that's so
Absolutely.
Hard for people to, especially young people growing up, to try and decipher the truth.
Right.
On that same vein, what message would you share with young people today? Because there's so much, oh my goodness, there's so much to make them frustrated and discouraged by circumstances. And I mean, I've talked to a couple of young people that kind of feel like, what's the point, you know?
Right.
I'm just
right.
ready to get out of here. And I don't know that they're really suicidal, but they're just saying, you know, tell me what's supposed to be good about this life.
Right. I think a lot of that is you've got to surround yourself with great. And if you find that those people are not for you and not encouraging you to do great things, they're discouraging. And if they are trying to discourage you from doing great things, then those are the people you want to avoid at all costs. And it's mm-hmm. okay to say no. I mean, that's a lot of young women don't realize that they don't have to be accepting of everything that comes around them. You know, so being careful to protect yourself, you know, your heart. God tells us to, what is it about your heart? Guard your heart. And I don't think we teach our kids enough to protect themselves, you know, from the bullies, from the world, from the, you know, bad thoughts that are going through your head, and to capture all of those and say, you know what? That is not from God. And really being able to teach them what is right and then walk with them. I mean, so many people are afraid of teenagers. You know what I mean? Like adults are afraid of teenagers. And I'm like, okay, they may, you know, smell a little weird, dress a little weird, talk a little weird. But at the core of them, they want to be loved and accepted. And isn't that true of everybody, that we want to be loved and accepted? So when we, you know, go to church or we go someplace and we see teenagers, you know, don't avoid them. Talk to them. I mean, mm-hmm. I love when I speak to teenagers because they respond so well because they're so shocked, I think, first that this, you know, gray-haired lady is talking to them, but before I was redheaded. But I just want to let them know that their life matters and that they, what they think matters and what they want to do matters. And I think sometimes often they get the message that they're not enough. They're not important enough to even look at or talk to. And unfortunately, I mean, a lot of people parent through their phone these days. You know, I mean, like I see so many young moms, you know, just looking at their phone while they're nursing their baby. And I'm like, mm-hmm. God put your boobies next to your face so that you could see that baby when you're nursing them. You know what I mean? It's like, otherwise they wouldn't be in that place. Sorry, I said that word. But it's so true, though, isn't it? I mean, I remember holding my babies, and that was the best time ever. You know, I didn't breastfeed because they were adopted, but they, you know, just feeding them and looking in their face, and they look into your face. I mean, that eye contact is so important, especially when they get to be teenagers, and you want to give them a snarky look to tell them to stop messing around.
Yeah.
I used to do that to my son in church, and he'd be like, what? Like, trying to act like he didn't know that my mean look was being mean to him. I'm like, you know I'm trying to tell you to stop it. Funny. But yes, I think just walking with those kids to tell them that they're important. You know what I mean? And that just means invite them for coffee. You know what I mean? Or whatever that they might be into. Don't invite them to, like, do laundry with you because they're not going to want to do that. You know, but do something, you know. It doesn't take a lot to take them out to lunch or to ice cream or, you know, whatever, just to chat with them. Go to their ball game. You know what I mean? Like, how important is that? Because so many parents aren't able or aren't willing to go to their kids' events and go do that. I mean, you know, build that relationship with them and just love on them and encourage them. I mean, I just think it's so very important that we do that.
Yeah, exactly. And make them aware that even though something they may be wearing or whatever looks weird to you, you still love them.
Exactly. I mean, I see some girls come into our church and I'm like, did you get dressed before you came into church? I mean, but then I think, you know what? I went to a Pentecostal church one time when we were trying to figure out where we were supposed to be. My husband and I just became believers. And I went to this church. I had big old hair. It was the 80s, you know, I had big old hair, pants on, which was not, and makeup that was not okay. And the preacher started preaching about all those things were not good. I'm thinking, did he have that sermon in mind before I came in? Or just because I came to this little church? I mean, it was a little church out in the middle of the country in Alabama. And so my husband and I always joke about that he preached that right to me. I'm like, well, okay. But, you know, he may or may not. I don't know. But just that I think it's so important to look past the clothes, look past the attitude, because that's what God looks at is our heart. He looks inside, and that's what he wants us to emulate is him. And so when we look at the weird stuff or the way they talk, I mean, you know, there's time to mentor them out of some of those bad attitudes or way they speak or whatever. But it's not. It's done with love, you know, and it's done with a relationship. Because if you just come up to somebody like, hey, stop doing that, I mean, they're going to be like, yeah, mean old lady. I mean, you know, they're not going to want to do it just by themselves. I mean, it's because we have a relationship. It got so well for us. I mean, he just gave us a pattern and a sample of, here I am. This I'm mentoring the world through the few and then the many, you know, and so we need to do the same.
Yes, we sure do.
I just talk about this all day long. You got me on my hot topic, so yep.
Well, that's great. That's what I wanted to do. So, Dee Dee, what's next for you?
Yeah, I was trying to think of that question because I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't know. I do know that I want to try to learn how to do an audio book, and you think it would be just easy, just record it, and you're good. It, apparently, it's a lot more than that. I started checking into it last month, and so that's kind of one of my things I want to learn how to do. I do want to write some more books. Definitely, I'm probably going to do some short books like ebooks, basically just relational issues. Like one thing I want to do, we had family meetings, and I love family meetings. And most people have a really negative connotation of that or, you know, thinking of that. And I want to teach people how to do that right. It's so when you do it right, it is a great opportunity to grow your family with, and you approach it with doing good things, talking about good things and the bad things going on, you know. So it's just, and it's not that whole, you know, I hold a stick so I can speak, that kind of weird thing, you know. But I want to do some of those kind of books, just like little short books for people to say, you know what, here's the topic I want to talk about or think about, you know, dealing with in our lives. So that's kind of really where I think I'm going to be going. And of course, we're going to be building the relationship, cherished relations this next year. That's the plan anyway.
Yes, and oh my goodness, I just hope that things resolve as far as the whole COVID-19 so that we can get back to a normal life and people like you that are so anxious to minister to folks can accomplish that safely. And I'm just praying that things, you know, settle down.
Absolutely. I believe it will. You know, we have to, as believers, we have to just believe that, you know, that God's got his hand on it and he will take care of it. You know, he'll take care of us. It may not look like the way we think it should look. I mean, definitely this year has not been the way we all thought it would be at the beginning of the year, but we're still here and God is still for us. And that's the message. Absolutely. I think for me, that's probably going to be my 2021 theme. I always try to have a theme for my year. I didn't have one this year. Maybe there was a reason. That would be blowed up. But I think next year is that, you know, God's for us. God is for us. I think that's a great theme that we believe God's for us.
Yeah, if God's for us, who can be against us? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, I plan on having a good Christmas, just believing that, you know, a small Christmas with our little family. But yeah. It'll start off the new year that way, I think.
Well, that's wonderful, Dee Dee, and I want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for sharing with us today.
I'm honored to be here with you, Patty, and I just thank you so much, and I hope you have a great Christmas, too.
Thank you so much, and may God richly bless you and your husband and your ministry. Take care.
Thank you. God bless.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. I just want to wish everyone a very merry and blessed Christmas and a happy, healthy new year. God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning. some dark and cold, there is a sphere.